This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays from all of us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to take time to pay tribute to Craig Sager. His son, Craig Sager II, was on our program in the month of November. I had just released the new book, Living Out Loud, Sports, Cancer, and Things Worth Fighting For by Craig Sager and Craig Sager II. You don't want to miss this very special interview as we pay tribute to the late and great Craig Sager. Well, Craig, I have to tell you, first and foremost, I'm a big fan of your father. I have to share that over the years, I've always been fascinated with his dynamic wardrobe, some of those zany suits, and I wondered, you know, who in the world is his wardrobe consultant? So I have to ask you, you've got good fashion sense. Did you help out your dad with his selection of some of his outfits for those NBA games?
Wow. Yeah, it's actually fascinating to me a lot of the times, too. His style, though, it's his own creation. I mean, I never know really what he's going to wear. I can usually get a sense of it. He's a very in-the-moment type guy. Uh-huh. So if he's down in South Beach for a playoff game, you can expect some bright Miami Heat-style colors. If he's in Detroit for a October game, he's not going to be wearing the same thing. So I can kind of tell he's going to rise to the occasion. If it's Halloween, if it's Valentine's Day, I can get a good picture in my mind. But he just does a good job of just being in the moment, being plugged into the environment around him. And I think that his outfits, as crazy as they are, he does do, there is some methods to his madness.
Well, you know, your dad, too, is, I mean, he's such a solid journalist, but his fashion sense is one of the things that has made him so famous. I mean, he's definitely built his own personal brand. And one of the things I'd love for you to share with our audience and all of our listeners, what are some stories from some athletes or perhaps sports personalities that have, you know, kind of, you know, teased your dad perhaps a bit about some of those brightly colored suits?
Yeah, I mean, no one dresses like him. And he's not an easy guy to understand. I mean, I've been in his son my entire life, and I've often just tried to figure out his thought process behind things, why he dresses this way, why does he wear this, why does he go about it this way, because he is a very unique person. But what I've learned is it's not about, like, the clothes. It's not what you see on the outside. He has a truly unique perspective of the world, and that's what I think is really amazing to me, is how positive he actually is as a person. And how he is able to find the fun in every situation. And honestly, that's what he looks for in every situation. When he goes up to the arena, the stadium, sports are a stressful environment a lot of times. A lot of pressure on these athletes. There's a lot of pressure on the coaches, the fans, and all this. But he shows up for one reason only, to have fun. And it doesn't matter if he's working, he's taking me to the game, if we're taking a party bus to the game. He goes in there with the same attitude that there's nothing else to be doing right now. This is the most important game. This is the place to be right now, and he loves every minute of it.
The co-author of his father's new book, we're visiting with Craig Sager II. It is titled Living Out Loud, Sports, Cancer, and the Things Worth Fighting For. It is absolutely an amazing read. We encourage all of you listening in tonight to pick up a copy of that. I'd also love for you to touch on, Craig, talk to me about, there was a touching tribute and the foreword by Charles Barkley. What did Sir Charles have to share?
Charles is such a great guy. Yeah. I think him and my dad have a really a good bond. And Charles visits to my dad over the last 2.5 years. Gosh, I don't even know how long it's been. But those are the visits my dad tells me about. Just how much fun they have together, their sense of humor. The best way to describe them is, I feel like a lot of people try to be the best versions of themselves all the time. We put pressure on ourselves. We know what we want to be. Those two guys, they just know how to be themselves. And them together, it's pretty, it's a pretty strong friendship, and he's the perfect guy to lift my dad up. And so I think that having him in the forward was perfect. And also, it's funny because Barkley was supposed to do the intro for him at the ESPYs and got bumped for Joe Biden. So,
oh wow,
Barkley was joking. He's not even the real president, but he got to write the board. That was definitely a good consolation prize.
Craig Sager II is with us tonight at the all-new ESPY Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're talking about his dad's new book. You got to go out and get a copy of it. Living Out Loud: Sports, Cancer, and the Things Worth Fighting For. You know, we talk about how Charles Barkley, how he's really energized your dad. He keeps his spirits up. But also, your daddy, he loves the Chicago Cubs. And how about them winning that World Series? You got to share the story for all of our listeners about your dad throwing out the first pitch at the Cubbies game. That's a moment he'll never forget.
It was absolutely unbelievable. And that was the first time I had ever been to Wrigley, which is
crazy. What's that like?
Crazy. I mean, I didn't get to travel that much with my dad growing up. I mean, we went to a bunch of basketball games that were close by to Atlanta. But to be able to see how much Wrigley meant to him my entire life, see what he was going to write about his childhood growing up with the Cubs in the book, and then being there for him to throw out the first pitch when you know the type of season they were having, it was amazing. And it was just a full circle moment for him. I mean, back in the, I think the mid-70s, I would hear the stories of him when he ran on the field of Wrigley and got arrested. So for him to basically go from being arrested on Wrigley's field to be able to wear the Ernie Banks jersey, his hero,
yeah,
and throw out the first pitch. I mean, yeah, it's easy to appreciate that moment, but it was so much more to him. And it just meant everything to have the family there and just such a fun, perfect day in June with the Cardinals in town. And then to see them win it was honestly just hitting the final card of the Royal Flush.
I want you to share with our listeners, I mean, what was it like growing up as Craig Jr.? And can you also share just some of the important lessons that you've learned from your father throughout all the years?
Yeah, that's a question I was still trying to figure out while I was writing the book, to be honest with you. I mentioned it. He's a very hard guy to understand. It's hard to keep up with sometimes, just his energy and just how in tune he is in the moment. Like, you really have to, like, he'll lift you up and then you'll understand, like, kind of what he's feeling. But I think the main thing, just growing up, he made me appreciate how great life can be when you have a job that you love. And that can be frustrating, and it can also be the ultimate motivation. It's frustrating because you do want the best for yourself. You want yourself to be happy. And a lot of times you're going to feel like you're a negative person. When you're surrounded by someone who enjoys life so much, it can make you feel negative, which I understand, I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I don't appreciate him for being positive. It's just, it's tough because you want to be happy like him. And so one of the main things I learned, though, just seeing him not change throughout this process is, there are ways to find the fun in situations that are tough. There's ways to find appreciation, to turn negatives into positives. And I think that's the thing that's so meaningful to me, is no matter what happens, knowing that you know someone that would be able to smile during that time or be able to be happy is a huge just promise of hope moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm going to always take away from my dad, is knowing that if he was there, he would be able to find the fun. So I'm not completely hopeless. The fun is there, even if I can't find it.
Oh, it is beautifully done. Living Out Loud: Sports, Cancer, and the Things Worth Fighting For. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you.
God bless. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new ESPY Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
My beloved bride, Stacy. My heaven on earth. In the darkest of moments, tears running down her cheeks, we embraced and we prayed. Please, don't leave me, she pleaded. We can fight this together. There's no fear in love, and your love is my strength. Time is something that cannot be bought. It cannot be wagered with God, and it is not in endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life. If I've learned anything through all of this, it's that each and every day is a canvas waiting to be painted. An opportunity for love, for fun, for living, for learning. So I will never give up. And I will never give in. I will continue to keep fighting, sucking the marrow out of life as life sucks the marrow out of me. Thank you and good night.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and your family on this Friday night. Come on in, because it is time for some NFL news and notes, and we have got a very special guest that's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is Raiders great. He's the former head coach and player in Tom Flores, and we are so excited to have you on this Christmas weekend. Thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas. A little early, but Merry Christmas.
Well, how about your Oakland Raiders? They clinched their first playoff berth in 14 years with that three-point win at San Diego. And I have to say, for all the Raider fans out there in the nation, it has been a long 14-year ride and a long time since the Raiders, you know, they just hadn't been able to figure out a way to win. They got it done in this remarkable turnaround season. Did you expect this to be the first Raiders winning season since 2002?
I thought, you know, when they ended last year, that this year would be a they would have a chance. The only thing that bothered me was that our division was pretty tough. You know, with Denver being the world champions last year,
right,
and Kansas City being strong right behind them, I thought this would be, once again, be the division that used to be in the old days, and it's turned out to be that way. I didn't know that we had. I thought. Going before we made any acquisitions during the offseason, that we needed to get a, make sure our offensive line got better, and they've done that. They went out and got the guys, and they and the young ones developed, and you got to protect the quarterback, and they got the playmakers down, and who knows what can happen.
Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. Hey, Raiders great Tom Flores is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loans studios. So who do you think deserves the most credit and is responsible for the Raiders turnaround? Because as I had just mentioned, this is a franchise that you guys have struggled mightily, gone through a number of coaches and quarterbacks, you think, over the last decade, and finally to get to this point to have a winning season.
Well, I think, in my opinion, the executive of the year should be Reggie McKenzie, and the coach of the year should be Jack Del Rio. Reggie, for bringing in his system, his patience, his acumen and talent, that's what he was noted for at Green Bay when he was working there for Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf touted him. I remember Ron telling me once, he's really good at eyeballing talent. And he's shown that by his drafts, his recent drafts. And then hiring Jack Del Rio was really good because Jack grew up in the Bay Area. He was a Raider fan when he was in high school at Hayward High School. He was a Raider fan when he was at SC, and we were down in L.A. And I mean, so all these things fit the Raider mold and the Raider history. And here we are. We're right. We're back in it. Now we just have to go far in the playoffs and see what happens.
Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio, what, it's only his second season, and they're headed to the playoffs. How do you think, Tom, that he's been able to do it so quickly and to change the culture and level of expectation in Oakland?
Well, he came in. When he came in, he visually and I guess emotionally and all of the above, felt that something was missing. The Raider aura, the Raider swagger, the Raider positive attitude, the Raiders' ability to win and know they're going to win and confidence was missing. So he he immediately changed a lot of things. Structurally, he changed some of the building, some of the way that they practice, the way they meet. And so when they walked in the door, it was an entirely different feeling. And the players bought into it. They loved it. And so that's the way he's been all along, in a very positive way, coaches. And it's working. It works. They're bad. Because, you know, before, all they'd heard was how the Raiders used to be. But these kids, they're kids. Mm-hmm. They don't know what happened then. I can tell them, but it's just, you know, somebody telling a story.
Hey, he is a two-time Super Bowl winning coach. We are always so honored when Tom Flores is with us at our network, SB Nation Radio, and, of course, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter. We love hearing from all of our fans, at E Radio Sports. And you can go back and listen to this exclusive interview with Raiders great Tom Flores at podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. And, you know, as we talk about the head coach for the Raiders and Jack Del Rio, teams take on the personality of their coaches. Do you think this is what has happened with the Raiders?
Absolutely, I think so. Yeah, the position coaches are very prominent in the development of their individual players, but the overall picture is the head coach. How does he handle the sideline? How does he handle the meetings? How does he handle the press? How does he just handle the overall picture of it? And the respect that he gets, and that's the way it is. Because these players are young. They're young. I always say these are kids in men's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to be directed and shown how to win. And fortunately, Jack has come from winning programs at SC and with the Broncos as an assistant coach, and he did well. As a head coach when he was at Jacksonville. So there's a lot of background there, too.
Do you have an opportunity, Tom, to go over there and talk with the guys and kind of connect with them?
No, I really don't. I don't live there, so I'm not there on a daily basis. I see them on the weekends, game day. I still love game day. The weekends, I travel with them on the plane.
Yeah.
So I visit with them a little bit. But, you know, the players, to be honest with you, I see the players out of uniform. I'm not sure who they are because I don't know them, their facial recognition, as well as I did when I coached, because I don't see them every day. I feel like saying, what's your number? wear your number on your shirt
so
I know who you are.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know who Derek is. I know who Derek Carr is, and Khalil Mack, I know who those guys are, Crabtree and Amari Cooper, and, you know, those guys are easy to recognize because you see them a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the guys in the trenches, so those are the guys I love the most anyway, the offensive linemen.
You better bet. Mm-hmm.
And so those are the guys that they're responsible for the offense right now. They're very proud of themselves right now. They're doing well.
The Oakland Raiders, 11-3, first in the AFC West, and we are visiting with Raiders great Tom Flores tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside just for a few minutes, and we'll be back right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows, live and on demand, right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with former Raiders head coach and quarterback, two-time Super Bowl winning coach, the great Tom Flores, tonight at SB Nation. Oakland Raiders, they are 11-3. They are first in the AFC West. And you were talking about a guy that's very recognizable. You can't miss him. And that's the quarterback in Derek Carr. And you just think about just the history, just over the past 10 to 14 years, the Raiders, they've been at the bottom of the NFL. But what, you know, Tom, what a difference a franchise quarter can make. Just give us your thoughts, your impressions. And we look back at what in 2014, the NFL draft, I mean, the Raiders took Carr the second round, and he was, what, the 36th pick overall?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that if Khalil Mack had not been there in the first round, I'm not so sure that Reggie would not have picked Carr, because Carr, he told me very quietly, he says, he's the best quarterback in this draft right now. This was before the draft.
Wow.
Very quietly. There were a lot of guys rated ahead of him. But, you know, the draft is a funny thing, because you're drafting, and even though Derek Carr was rated in the first round, mid to late first round, he didn't go to the second round because a lot of teams don't need quarterbacks. So he's just going to bounce and bounce and bounce. And when he bounced into the second day, I thought to myself, I said, Reggie's going to get his guy. And he did. He got them both. He got Khalil Mack and Derek Carr. And then in the third round, got Jackson. All three rookie starters, all through three excellent players.
And what a game changer. And when we talk about Derek Carr, where would you rank him in regards to some of the quarterbacks in the NFL? I mean, is he a top five? Is he a top 10? Is he one of the elite quarterbacks?
Well, I think right now he's in the top 10, no question. I think, you know, it a lot depends on how he does from now on. You know, right now he's got the pinky finger that's bothering him a little bit. And it really bothered him on Thursday night 2 weeks ago when they played in Kansas City. It's getting better now. He was much better this last Sunday, and he should be much better this Saturday. So now it depends. You know, the quarterbacks are judged on how they play in big games, and these games are all getting bigger and bigger as they go. So we'll see. We'll just see how he's judged. You know, I always said great players make big plays in big games, and the ones I had, it did. And I think Derek's headed in that direction.
Well, he certainly has had a number of winning plays in the fourth quarter, very much clutch player. But I think back to the 2014, the draft, as you know, some of the big names like Teddy Bridgewater and Blake Bortles, you know, they were all selected ahead of him. Why do you think, though, that Derek Carr has been able to thrive in Jack Del Rio's system?
I just think it's interesting. He's a positive kid. Everything he does is very positive. He's always got a smile on his face, very respectful of the game, of his teammates, and he interacts all the time. I watch a lot of these young kids, especially quarterbacks, and I watch them when they're not away from the ball. How do they act away from the ball? Everybody's a little different. He doesn't go and sit and stare, you know, in a space. He's always moving around. He's always talking to somebody, and it's not necessarily the offensive coach, you know, the quarterback coach. It's other players, offense or defense. He's just involved. And he and Khalil Mack have become the two leaders on either side of the ball in just 3 years. They're the leaders. And that's pretty impressive.
Well, how special is Khalil Mack? You've mentioned him several times, and he certainly has had an interesting story in terms of his journey to the NFL. He didn't go to a big-name school. He went to the University of what, Buffalo?
I didn't even know who he was. I mean, they're talking about, I said, who? Khalil Mack, I said, Buffalo? Buffalo, you know, you don't consider it a major league program, even though they did his senior year. He did play at Ohio State, and had a good, that's when he really made his mark. And they just kept talking about him, and so I just read into him, and I said, Buffalo, and it's okay, his size is good, you know, he does this, that's look pretty good, and then all of a sudden you watch him play, and it's, wow, this guy's pretty impressive, and then when you watch him live, it's even more impressive, and he has lived up to all the expectations and more.
The Oakland Raiders are 11-3. They are first in the AFC West. They're going to play on Christmas Eve. They're going to host the Colts, and then, of course, they'll finish out the season at the Broncos. Since we are talking about the silver and black tonight and them clinching their first playoff berth since 2002, what does the focus need to be there on that number one priority to finish 2016 big?
Well, right now, you have to, the old saying, one game at a time. It is one game at a time because Indianapolis is no slouch. You know, Luck is really a good quarterback, and he's able to beat you by himself if he has to. They have a young team, and so you can't take them lightly. They're still in the hunt, so you have to worry about Indianapolis first, and then worry about going to Denver at the last game of the year. And get by those two games, and then see where you are. You get by those two games, you'll have a bye, which is good, because then you get a rest, and then you see where you go to play. And if New England runs the clock, too, then obviously everything has to go through New England.
We are quickly running out of time. Tom Flores has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I definitely have to ask you, while you're on the program tonight, there were some individual accolades for the Raiders. They lead the NFL with 7 Pro Bowl selections, 7 of them. And that's the most since what, 94, the most for the Raiders. Just what was your reaction when you heard that? Obviously, it really demonstrates the type of work that they're putting in as an organization and being able to maximize these guys' ability on this roster.
Well, you know, when I picked up the paper and I said, "Whoa, 7!" I said, "Wow!"
Yeah.
And I was overwhelmed, to be honest with you. So I knew Derek was getting a lot of play. I knew Khalil Mack would make it. You know, and beyond that, who are the other guys? And then I saw Amari Cooper, and then when 3 offensive linemen were on that list, that made me feel good. That made me smile because that's the area that I've always pointed to has to be solid, and that's pretty impressive when those 3 guys made the list.
Tom, you are a 2-time Super Bowl winning coach. What does your gut tell you? I mean, you got a feel about this, a sense? I mean, the Super Bowl is going to be right here in Houston. We'd love to have you in studio. We would love for you to come. Do you think it's going to happen? You think they'll be here?
I don't know. Let's get into the playoffs, and then I'll give you a feel. It depends on how we handle the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. It depends on how we handle that, and anything can happen. You know, I've been there as a wild card. I've been there as a number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Been there as a player. So there's a lot of things that's going to happen along the way. You have to play solid. You have to stay healthy, and you have to have a little bit of luck along the way.
My final question for you is, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the potential relocation of the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas. What is your belief in terms of that? Do you think it's going to happen?
I don't know. I didn't think it was going to happen. I'd say it's about a 50-50 right now myself. You know, I don't know what goes on behind the closed doors of the negotiations. I do know that, my feeling is the Raiders belong in Oakland. I think the league feels they belong in Oakland. Even the Davis family, and the ownership months ago, said they don't want to leave. They don't have to. But they might not have a choice because the city of Oakland is not coming up with any answers, and it's an economical situation right now. You know, the 2 worst stadiums in all pro sports are in Oakland and San Diego,
mm-hmm.
and that shouldn't be.
It would certainly be devastating to the fans, and I would assume to yourself as well. You want them to stay right there. What an honor to have with us tonight on this Christmas weekend, Tom Flores, Raiders great and 2-time Super Bowl winning coach. Thank you so much, Tom.
You're welcome. Anytime.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Of course, tonight, all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And the NBA conversation, it's going to continue. And I'm so delighted to open up the mic and welcome in my amazing producer right here at SB Nation Radio. That is, you got to get to know Giovanni Lopez. And it's the holidays. We wanted to power down a bit. We want to talk some NBA. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, Big E?
Hey, it's all good. We're glad to have you in studio with us to talk about your Houston Rockets. And they are truly rolling right now, despite, you know, they had that two-point loss earlier in the week against the Spurs. But, you know, Harden, he finishes with, what, 31-10 and 7 assists. So who knew they were going to be so good? Life would be so good after Dwight Howard. Why have they been able to thrive?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is has to be their chemistry is way better this season than it was last season. They, The Dwight Howard saga between him and Harden was real tolling for the whole team. They pretty much had to pick sides. And then also, this whole system ran around shooting a lot of three-point shots. But the best three-point shooter last season was James Harden at 36 or 37% from three. So this season, they got some shooters going. So I think that's the biggest thing. They got Eric Gordon, who can shoot the three really well. And then they got Ryan Anderson that can shoot the three real well. So that's one of the biggest things. And also the whole system between the Mike D'Antoni system where role players know what to do. That was one of the biggest pet peeves for me last season where role players didn't know what to do off the ball. As you know, like role players, star players can make up their own shot. They can have an offense by themselves. But role players, I think they really need a system for them to flourish.
The producer at SB Nation Radio, Giovanni Lopez, is with us tonight. We are talking about his Houston Rockets. And, you know, I brought up the fact, you know, they have had to learn how to live without Dwight Howard since he has moved on. But if you think about the 2015, the 2016 season, I mean, he missed a lot of games. He was out. So they had to learn to life without, you know, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, absolutely. And 2014-2015 season where he missed a lot of games as well, that's where they finished, what, second in the West? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not saying it was all Dwight Howard's fault, but there was some precedent there where if Harden had the ball most of the time and he didn't have to share the ball with Dwight Howard, they could win some games. And also, Trevor Ariza had a career year like he's having this season. So I just think that Dwight Howard needed such a, like, I think he would have flourished if the Rockets would have given him the ball in the post. But at the end of the day, that's not what the team is about. It's about pick and rolls. It's about shooting threes. And now they're doing exactly what they always wanted to do.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Rockets' offense, how they love to launch the threes. But, you know, and obviously the renewed commitment to James Harden. He's having just a sensational year. But how much credit does the defense deserve?
Well, you know, I really thought that they were going to be like 28th in defense this season or 29th in defense. But they got some great defensive coordinators that came in and who have established great careers in Memphis, and I just think that being in the top 20 is such a huge accomplishment, especially because Ryan Anderson wasn't a defensive stopper, well, pretty much ever in his career, or Eric Gordon is not considered a great defensive player, and pretty much you're only down to Patrick Beverly and Trevor Ariza playing great defense, so, and Capella as well. Can't forget about the big man.
Right. And, you know, when you think about defensively, you were talking about their rating. Well, I believe they're, what, 14th right now in their defensive rating. Do you think they have the athletes to score but also to defend, to play that smart defense that is going to be required in order for them to be able to make a run and sustain this level of winning and what they have been able to accomplish this first part of the season?
Yeah, I think they do have the athletes. I mean, it's so refreshing to see Patrick Beverly just focus on defense and Trevor Ariza is focused on defense because all they do is shoot threes from beyond the arc. I mean, that's their main point in this offense. So James Harden can keep doing what he's doing, like playing some defense, and then as well as Ryan Anderson, I think they do have the ability at least to stop a little bit. And you saw that in this 10 game winning streak where they held opponents 100 points. I mean, they held the Kings, although they were playing a D-League team pretty much.
Right.
And then they held the Mavericks. Sorry. And so they can definitely play defense. It's just how committed they're going to be later on in the season whenever the legs are a little bit more tired.
Giovanni Lopez is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big Esports Show. We love having him with us because he is my producer. We want to talk about his Rockets and specifically James Harden. How far can he take the Rockets? And do you think he is the league MVP? Because there's been a lot of attention on Russell Westbrook. He's been a triple-double machine. But what about James Harden? How would you quantify with what he's been able to accomplish so far?
Well, he's really carried this whole team. I mean, without him, I don't know where the Rockets would be at. So, as far as MVP talk, my biased opinion, he is. But if I'm just saying straight up, I think Russell Westbrook is definitely the MVP right now. It's so hard to average a triple-double nowadays, especially because when the Big O did it, there were maybe 30 shots more taken every game. And this season, he's doing it all by himself pretty much. So just looking at the stats, I mean, Russell Westbrook is just a monster. So I got to give it to him. And then how far Harden can take this team? I say maybe to the Western Conference Finals. I don't know how much if a like playing Golden State is going to be a whole different monster, especially 7-game series. Mm-hmm. They beat them already this time this season, but playing them in a 7-game series, I don't know how they can hold up. And also, Magda Antoni's system hasn't proven yet that they can win championships. It's proven that it's great during the regular season and can get teams to the Western Conference Finals, but got to see how it adjusts to the defense during the playoffs.
It's been great to have you with us on the first time on our program. Giovanni Lopez, the producer at SB Nation Radio. You want to check him out in the clutch. I believe you've got a podcast.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners go for that, Gio?
Audioboom.com. You can follow me at GOSP13. And then you can follow our podcast on In the Clutch 975.
Awesome. First time on the show. We want to thank all of our amazing guests and wish all of you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And we will see you in 2 weeks right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio.